on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com. And for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our February 13th, 2025 edition. And I'm excited for this hour with you, per usual, answering your finance and investment questions and doing my very best to help you take that next step in your journey to financial freedom. You do that by educating yourself, being prepared to avoid pitfalls and capitalize on opportunities. That's what the show is about. And so we do that by a couple of mechanisms. One is giving you data and perspective developed with 25 years of investment experience. And then also answering your finance and investment questions. So I encourage you to reach out right now and give me a call. If you're listening live 4 to 5 Pacific time, that's great. If not, that's fine too. You can leave your message. It will answer your question on a future show. So without further ado, we're going to pivot over to our first caller question. But right after that, we'll hit the market performance and run down some show topics. So let's check out that question now.
Hi, this is Andrew from Buffalo. I was just going to take on Red Cat, ticker RCAT, stock in the drone space, and just interested to hear what you guys think on that. Thanks.
All right, looking at Red Cat, and they provide software as a service that markets, designs, and develops solutions for the drone industry. Now, this is a company that was growing nicely, although last quarter revenues were down 61%. That's not good. Not loving that. No dividend. Earnings are still negative, but they're getting better. Earnings last year were negative 33 cents. This year, earnings are supposed to be negative 19 cents. And then next year, it's supposed to only lose 2 cents. So clearly, the analysts are getting excited about the path towards profitability. And I certainly like that. And the question is, though, this stock has moved already. Let me pull up a chart here. And it's moved from a low, let's see, back in last summer around a dollar. Now we're at $9.43. $755 million market cap. You're talking about revenues of only $16 million. Still negative free cash flow, although that is improving, except for last quarter, it got worse. So I don't like that initially. Right here, you have this big move, and their cash burn went up, decided to go up a little bit last quarter. Still getting better, but over the medium term, but in the short term, it's getting a bit worse. They're issuing more shares after this move as well, diluting shareholders. So, you know, to me, it's just still crazy expensive. You're talking about price to sales of 40 times. That's egregious. And so I think you missed the move. I think you want to keep on your watch list, monitor it for improvements in cash flow and profitability. See what other competitors there are out there. This is a good time to say, okay, just because it's this happens a lot where investors jump on a name because it's the only public company that you can gain exposure to something in an emerging kind of space like drones. In this case, I almost guarantee you there are competitors to Red Cat. What are they? Probably a lot of them are private. Is Red Cat even the top three in the ones that are used the most in the strength of their technology? Those are the things that I would be doing right now, figuring that out. Are they truly the leader? Or are there others as well? Do a competitive analysis there. So interesting name to have on the watch list, but I wouldn't be buying it here, mainly because of that valuation. It's just too egregious. Thanks for the call. There were a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so. And my main focus point is about a recent development that could be a game changer for Bitcoin. We'll talk about whether a strategic Bitcoin reserve could trigger global buying of Bitcoin. So we'll look at that. We also have voice bank questions in regards to Pepsi, as well as tips, Treasury inflation protected securities. We also have some other topics on the docket. One is in regards to the Trump trade trends. They're waning so far this year over the first roughly 6 weeks of trading. So we'll talk about what that might mean overall. Also, European stocks, I don't know if you know this, they're actually doing pretty well. So we'll talk about why that might be and whether or not more foreign exposure in your accounts may be a good time right now. Okay. And then lastly, if we have time, we'll talk about what fast food companies are doing well and in a K-shaped economy, why lowest cost is becoming even more important. Now we're heading to a short break. On the other side, we'll talk about today's market activity and play more of your caller questions. My phone lines are open and waiting for your calls at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made better when listeners add their voices.
My name is Robert, and I'm from Florida. Great show. I learned so much from just listening to you.
Hi, this is Susan from New Jersey. I'm calling about AXOA.
How much of the information that came out today on the whole AI play with DeepSeek and all that, how much of that information can you really trust?
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
I am very much a person that does not trust Chinese data.
Net income is growing and margins are staying pretty steady.
Now let's go take a live call. Paul from Palm Desert.
Let's go to George from San Mateo, who has a question about index funds.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little. Call InvestTalk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Is that a good strategy or should I be looking at other things?
888-99-CHART.
Have you ever noticed that you can tell a lot about a person just by the kind of suit they wear? It's true. The best way to send the right message is with the perfect suit from Indochino. My experience has taught me that Indochino clothing has the look, feel, and fit I appreciate and have always wanted. Whether you are dressing for a special occasion or for office wear, Indochino offers custom suits at unbeatable prices. And if you're planning your big day, make it even more special with custom groom and groomsman looks from Indochino. Customize every detail to your measurements and your personal taste, including the fabric, lapel shape, buttons, and more, all at a fraction of what other companies charge. You can even choose to visit a showroom and work one-on-one with an expert style guide to get precisely measured. Create your next headlining look with a custom suit from Indochino. Visit Indochino.com and use code INVEST to get 20% off any purchase of $499 or more. That's 20% off at INDOCHINO.com. Promo code INVEST.
InvestTalk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's go take a look at the market today. It was a decidedly positive day overall. The S&P was up a little over 1%. The NASDAQ was up about 1%. And really on the backs of strength from, you had NVIDIA was up. Let me pull this up here. There we go. NVIDIA up about 3%. Apple up about 2%. Tesla up about 6%. Tesla has been very, very weak, but did get a nice bounce today. The rest of the names were kind of flat to positive. Overall, Google was the next strongest of the Mag 7, about 1.4% positive. But Microsoft, Meta, Broadcom, those were roughly flat on the day. But, you know, you still remain in this really choppy environment overall. There's still a lot up in the air when it comes to the trade war. And that was really the big economic news today. Besides, you had initial jobless claims, which is roughly in line, no big deal there. You had PPI that was on the core side in line, the traditional PPI that was higher than expected. So a little bit of bad news on the inflation front, but nothing major. But the real big economic news was about the idea that Trump was going to impose reciprocal tariffs. So basically what it's saying is if another country has tariffs on a particular type of product that comes from the United States, then we will impose the same tariff on that country's products being sold into America. And as you would imagine, this is pretty complex. You have hundreds of countries. You have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of different types of goods that could be sold or traded within country, between countries. So it can be complex. Now, what he's saying is that the review, and that's usually what needs to happen here, is there some sort of review of what the impact would be before these can be implemented. The review should be done by April 1st. And then he said they could be implemented as soon as April 2nd. So that's something that we'll certainly be on watch for. And I'm starting to get this tariff sense like I did back during COVID. I'm not talking COVID or traditional COVID times, I'm talking pre-COVID COVID. I'm talking about late 2019 into very early 2020 when I was talking about this on air that what's going on in China is no small deal, that it's likely going to hit here. And, you know, what happens when that does happen? We don't know. But it's pretty clear that, you know, then the market was kind of ignoring it. They were whistling past the graveyard and it was ignoring it until it didn't. And a big factor in this is just structural flows, the structural nature of markets today. For example, your 401k, if you have your money in a target-dated fund, or if you have your money in a robo-advisor, you have an index fund and you're saving regularly. Well, when you put that money away, it goes blindly into that index. Doesn't matter what the headlines are. Doesn't matter what Trump does. Doesn't matter about the rest of the world. It just buys blindly those stocks. And that's a huge part of what the market is today. It's just a flow game. And then on top of that, you have option market interest that is at record highs, and that creates what we call gamma squeezes, gamma hedging, that kind of naturally forces dealers to buy up equities. And so when with that structural backdrop, the headlines matter less, almost like matter less than they ever have. But as with COVID, at some point, the news matters, because the news truly impacts the economies and truly impacts jobs. Think of what's happening with DOGE and potential layoffs across a lot of government. And then what does that do to global growth, with trade suddenly being reassessed on all sides? And so, well, I think we're still in this kind of choppy environment. Liquidity is broadly positive. Overall, there's still a lot of risk out there in regards to these tariffs. And in the back half of the year, like I said, with liquidity potentially drying up. So nothing really to talk about in the short term, to be honest with you. You know, we're still going through earnings season, and broadly it's fine. But, you know, something I wanted to bring up, because these are important headlines economically, but for the markets, they aren't making an impact yet, but doesn't mean they can't throughout the year. Now let's go take one of our questions submitted via our YouTube channel. And Jimmy G says, he's from Sweden. He says, I own Allison. I wonder if you know if something special happened today, as I writing the stock is down 15%. Did an earnings report yesterday, but that looked totally fine. Was that expectations that much higher? Then it still dropped 15%, or am I missing something? I've checked the company's balance sheet and profitability and so on. It looks very good. What do you think? Or is this maybe an overreaction or something to look out for regarding the company? Good question. This is ALSN. This is Allison Transmissions. This is a name we've owned for a while. When did we buy this? Pull this up here. Yeah, we bought it back, I want to say in the 30s, 40s, somewhere in there. Now it's at 101. It did have a reaction to earnings that was negative. Simple as that. But it just pulled back to the 200-day moving average. So it was kind of overbought. And yeah, the earnings report, as you said, was fine. Even the estimates for full year 2025 were smack dab in the middle of consensus. Not high, not low. They're right in the middle. Last quarter, revenues were up 3%. Earnings were up 5%. Once again, that was pretty much in line. And those are nearly $10.50 next year on a $100 stock. It's about 10 times earnings with clean balance sheet. Great, great business, great profitability. We still own it. In fact, we picked up some for new clients around 96 yesterday. Now it's at 101. So already up nicely there. I'm already seeing a bounce here off the 200-day moving average. So yeah, you're right. You're not missing anything. You know, sometimes these things happen. You know, stocks go on big runs, and there's a lot of optimism already built into the price. And all that has to happen is the market or the report doesn't have to come in great. It just comes in okay, and you get a pullback in the market, but or in the stock. And you know, but you have to look at the broader trend here of both earnings and the price. Both are going up over the long term. Good business, good cash flow. And I don't see anything changing in the short to medium term. So good buying opportunity on this pullback for Allison. Now, moving to a break, still to come, my focus point and more answers to your questions. And of course, you can call me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Let's face it, InvestTalk listeners. Life can be unpredictable, but securing your family's financial future doesn't have to be. That's where Fabric by Gerber Life comes in. Fabric was designed for busy parents like you, and it's more than life insurance. Free digital wills, access to investment accounts to invest for your kids' future, and more. And you can manage it all right from your phone. Fabric offers modern, flexible term life insurance designed to fit your lifestyle. Whether you're planning for the future or just want a little extra peace of mind, Fabric makes protecting what matters most simple and stress-free. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right from your couch, all online and on your schedule. You could be covered in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. Even if you have life insurance through your employer, it may not offer enough protection for your family, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. Fabric has flexible, high-quality policies that fit your family and your budget, like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Fabric has partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours, for over 50 years. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/investtalk. That's meetfabric.com/investtalk. meetfabric.com/investtalk. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
The numbers are in. InvestTalk, now with more than 60 million downloads. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, our main focus point today is about a recent development around a strategic Bitcoin reserve. And President Trump has floated this idea, and it's kind of come and gone in the headlines. But, you know, what might it mean for Bitcoin? How likely is it? I think that's the real question. We know it would be big, but how likely is it? Now, this is a proposal, a proposed plan, excuse me. And it would make a Bitcoin reserve that would buy a certain amount of Bitcoin each year. This is the Bitcoin Act of 2024. And it would purchase as many as 1 million Bitcoins over a 5-year period, equivalent to 5% of the total circulation of Bitcoin. That's what is being proposed. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the government already rakes as one of the biggest holders of Bitcoin, just simply through seizures, okay, asset seizures and forfeitures. They hold 198,000 Bitcoins. So that is one option here. Is that instead, you know, what do you do with this? Do you sell it? You know, it's like it's any other asset that the government seizes. What do they do with it? A lot of times they're returning it to those that were defrauded. But in this case, they could simply just say, hey, this is now our Bitcoin reserve. We're just going to hold it. An asset on the treasury balance sheet. Could certainly do that. Now, the biggest example of a country buying Bitcoin is actually El Salvador. In 2021, they made it legal tender and they've been buying aggressively ever since. And they hold about 6,000 Bitcoins. So you think $600 million worth roughly. I think that's a lot, but we have 198,000. So our holdings already pale in comparison to El Salvador. Now, countries like the Czech Republic recently suggested that the bank might start buying Bitcoin. And there's a game theory to this. You know, if one big country goes and buys it, then others might jump on here. The question, though, is this really the direction that the country with the biggest reserve, with the world's reserve currency, wants to go? Think of our ability to spend money, to finance our debts, our deficits. You know, Trump is pushing back on a lot of spending right now with Doge, but we all know that that needs to be legislated to some degree in order to make that, you know, set in stone. You know, you can hold back payments for so long, but lawsuits happen and goes to the courts, etc. And Trump has his own ideals of how to spend money. Taxes is one. And certainly getting to a point where you don't need to issue any more debt is probably very unlikely. So going out there and undermining the strength of your own currency by endorsing another currency that you don't control seems somewhat unlikely to me. And there's no real template for this to follow. Yeah, you have El Salvador, like I said. But that's a small country that's somewhat desperate and needed a shakeup to help strengthen their country. And to their credit, it's worked. Now, Trump has already backed away from what he characterizes the Bitcoin reserve. Instead, he's now calling it the National Digital Asset Stockpile. And here's another way that the government will be spending, right? You have to spend it. It's, what is the Bitcoin worth? You know, it's a dollar exchange. You're spending dollars to buy this other asset when they're trying to actively cut spending, when they're actively trying to cut spending so that they can cut taxes. So, you know, the big question is, how much is this, was this campaign rhetoric to get kind of the Bitcoin crowd excited? And how much follow through will there really be? I am on the side of it's probably not going to be as big as the Bitcoin maxis hope. It'll probably be something along the lines of, hey, we have this 198,000. This is part of our sovereign wealth fund. And he already floated that. Remember the sovereign wealth fund a few days ago? Talked about building one of those. Let's just put those Bitcoins in our sovereign wealth fund. Maybe use some of them to buy harder assets, physical assets, real estate, right? He's a real estate guy. Would he rather spend money on acquiring Greenland, for example, or more Bitcoin? Probably more Greenland. So I think this is pretty low on the priority list for the new administration. They have a lot of other priorities to focus on. But I don't rule it out. I don't rule it out because we know Trump is a wild card. And but the question you have to ask yourself is, how much is already built into the price? Now, Bitcoin has been declining as of late. It's weakening, you know, kind of hanging around the 95,000 mark. I've said before, breaks below 90,000, then I think you're headed for a big drawdown in Bitcoin. But right now, just kind of hanging out, consolidating. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this story. U.S. Treasuries. Who owns U.S. debt? Foreign governments like China and Japan, U.S. institutions and individuals all play a critical role. We'll talk about that story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, so you have a website, and managing that website is just one of your responsibilities, right? So website security is not another job you need to worry about. Enter Kinsta. Founded in 2013, Kinsta is a hosting service dedicated to delivering exceptional speed, security, and reliability to businesses that depend on WordPress websites. Kinsta provides enterprise-grade security to protect customers' sites and data. In fact, Kinsta is one of the very few hosting companies dedicated to WordPress with certifications that guarantee the highest level of security for a website. Kinsta offers other benefits too, like faster speed, up to 200% faster. Kinsta has an intuitive custom dashboard called MyKinsta that makes managing a site or multiple sites a breeze. Plus, Kinsta gives you unmatched human-only customer support, while many other hosting services stick you with an automated GPT-based support chat. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
InvestTalk. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, InvestTalk. I was calling in with a question regarding tips and was wondering, would this be a good time to get into this for as a hedge against inflation? So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And I will be listening to your podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, it is. I think it is a good time to get into Treasury inflation protected securities. If that's, you know, now there are different ways to get hedges against inflation. Now, tips are one of them. You can just go buy TIP, which is the iShares TIPS bond ETF, or STIP. That's probably my favorite. That's the short term, kind of 0 to 5 years, so you don't have the duration risk there. So that's the way I would go if you're trying to pick up TIPS and have that part of a broad portfolio. It's a I think of it as the bond slice that hedges you against inflation, because typically bonds are terrible hedge against inflation unless you have something like TIPS. And so if you have bonds in your portfolio, you have a relatively low risk tolerance, but you still want to hedge against inflation, TIPS are great. Now, are they the best hedge against inflation? No. I mean, equities do better. If inflation goes up, then you will get with TIPS, but it's riskier, right? And, you know, there's more downside if you go into a deflationary environment, right? Equities tend to fall. And so it's a more volatile bet on inflation. Whereas TIPS, you don't have the downside when you hit some sort of recession or deflationary bust, but you still get that inflation hedge during those inflationary times. Thanks for the call. Now let's move back to a question submitted via the comment section over on our YouTube channel. And Marco Mike says, Train TT has had a decent pullback. Wondering if this would be a good time to establish a position. It's a solid company with good fundamentals. Assuming the pullback is related to the DeepSeek news, hoping to identify an entry price. All right, let's go look at TT. This is Train, and this is a company that manufactures climate control units and products that increase industrial productivity and efficiency. So the simple answer here is, yeah, the pullback was triggered by the DeepSeek news and the idea that, you know, maybe there won't be as strong of a build out for these data centers as there were before, because the compute power to build AI models or run AI models is not as high as everyone expected it to be. And so you see names like Vertiv as well as Train here taking a step back. Now, what I will say is that it's near support around $350 per share. It's at 361 after this recent bounce. So it bounced off that 350 level. But that's no longer support. As long as it kind of chops in this range, it could easily break below. And if you go look at the fundamentals here, it's pretty expensive. Okay. And growth has already slowed a bit. You're talking about earnings growth was 20% last quarter versus a year ago was at 38%. So that's already slowed. Earnings this year are supposed to be at 14% and 12% next year. So you're talking about a low teens multiple, a low teens growth rate with in an environment where everyone is and their mother was deploying money towards AI infrastructure. I think that is going to shift to a degree. And there's probably going to be a continued slowing of demand here. And I think this is, this recent downtrend from a high 422 or 361, it's already down 14% off its high. I think there's it could easily go much, much lower. Now, what would the support level be? Well, ultimately, the best support level would be around 205. But 235, that's also a pretty good support level. So until it gets there, sub 250, that 235 range, I would not buy it yet. Because I think the multiples need to come down. You're talking about a forward-looking multiple around 30 times earnings. Just too high for my blood. So I'm passing on Train, but continue to keep it on your watch list because, like you said, good company, just too expensive after this recent run and just starting its downtrend. Let's talk a little bit about foreign stocks. Foreign stocks. I don't know if you know this, but the German DAX up more than 9% this year in dollar terms. And the France's CAC 40 up about 8%. The S&P only up about 2.5%, 3% on the year. And so the European indices are starting to outperform for the first time since 2015. Okay. Up until this time this year, in the year. It's the first time since 2015. Think about that. A decade. Then you have other foreign countries even China's doing pretty well this year. And this is out after everyone has kind of left foreign stocks for dead. It's all about, you know, U.S. dominance. And usually when there was an Economist article recently or a Barron's article talking about the strength of the United States and our markets. And history says when you get those magazine headlines, the peak in sentiment is very close. And so the question is this, it's a short move, right? It's only 6 weeks, but it's noticeable. You know, you're talking about double and triple the performance in just a handful of weeks compared to our markets. Now, the Eurozone ended 2024 with zero economic growth in the fourth quarter. And you already talked about tariffs on Europe. But you're starting to see the expectations for European growth accelerate. And that's on the back of the valuations here. The S&P 500 trades at 22 times projected earnings over the next 12 months. In Europe, it's 14 for the stocks European 600. And it's 12 for UK stocks, United Kingdom. They're nearly half the multiple. Now, certainly there's a growth trajectory here for our companies. That's much better. But is it worth double? You know, our value should valuations be double? Growth has to be drastically higher for an extended period of time for that multiple to make sense. And profit growth in Europe is picking up. The stocks Europe 600, earnings per share, growth expected to be 7.7% this year. Last year was only up 2.6%. So you're seeing earnings expectations accelerate. And what you have realized is a lot of these European countries, they actually sell into the United States. So is the sentiment around tariffs and Trump, has that been priced in? And is the market fading that and not believing that Trump is for real? That's a potential here. And then there's expectations that Europe, central banks in Europe will cut rates more aggressively because their inflation picture is not as bad as ours. Our inflation has leveled out and looking to head higher. And then on the political front, you have the geopolitical uncertainty in Europe starting to potentially abate. It looks like Russia and Ukraine are probably going to come to the table at some point in the next 6 months and come to some resolution. And France's government this week, they survived a no confidence vote, which means that there's no crisis ahead for France as a whole. And then in Germany, you're having new elections, so hope is springing eternal. And then you have, what was the other one? There's another one. Anyway, the point here is that what's happening around the world is sentiment has gotten too extreme to the negative side. And all you need is a little bit of improvement, a little bit of healing, restructuring, adjusting, and you can get a big move in those names that are trading at very, very low valuation. So I think this is potentially the start of a move. And so if you want to up your foreign exposure in your portfolio, this might be a good time to do it. Now we've got time, so let's drop in another listener question that came in earlier from Atlanta.
Good evening, guys. This is Chris from Atlanta. I wanted to see what your thoughts were on starting to dollar cost average into Pepsi. I see it's trading in a near 52-week low. And you look at a chart, it's kind of trading where it was back in 2020. I know that it's forecast to have low growth over the next year, but as a dividend king, figured maybe you could start investing now over the next year and collecting the dividends while waiting for it to hit another growth spurt. I'm interested in seeing what your thoughts are on this. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right, looking at Pepsi. Now, the first thing I would say is I kind of like that you're looking for a larger name that's a bit down in its luck and trying to find good values that, long-term profitable companies have similar profitability over time. You know, can ebb and flow, but it reverts to a mean, shall we say. And right now, Pepsi has been struggling. Its 52-week high is $183 per share. Now we're down to $144. Down 21%, which for a large cap name with $200 billion market cap like Pepsi, that's a pretty big pullback. You know, this is your typical bellwether blue chip stock. And nice 3.75% dividend right now. But earnings are slowing. And they look like they could be headed towards negative territory. This year, earnings are only supposed to be up 2%. And right now, its P ratio is about 18. So a little bit less than the broader market. Remember, the broader market is heavily weighted towards those bigger Mag 7 names that have better growth rates. So am I going to pay 18 times for something that has low single digit, if not headed towards flat earnings growth? Probably not. Then you add on the fact that you have RFK, just got confirmed as HHS secretary. Obviously, he is very skeptical of the big ag and the food industry and likely to impose things like forcing the soda companies to not put high fructose corn syrup in their sodas and use cane sugar, things like that. And then, Pepsi, their drinks, but also their snacks. And, he's talked a lot about seed oils and, fixing our processed food problem, think of all the chips that are supplied to schools that are at, sandwich shops. Is there pressure from the new administration to get rid of that? Supply schools with healthier whole foods. And I think there's a big risk to these junk food companies over the next 4 years. And so, you know, if Pepsi was trading at rock bottom prices, I might say this is all priced in. Too pessimistic. People are still going to eat bad food to a degree, and you can't legislate that out of existence. And I think that's true. But I need a cheap price. I need a bargain basement price. And while it's getting cheaper, it's not cheap. Okay, and they have a good amount of debt on the balance sheet. $7 billion in free cash flow on a $232 billion enterprise value. What's that? A 3% free cash flow yield? No, I need a 8% free cash flow yield. So, and then if you look at the cash dividend pay ratio, it's 100%. Means every cent of their free cash flow is being paid out to dividend holders. I don't like that. I don't like that. It means that in order to continue that dividend, they're going to have to borrow more money or improve their business, which is currently headed downward, or cut their dividend. So I would not be buying this. Keep on your watch list for time when everybody hates it and there's a huge spike in volume and nobody wants to own Pepsi. That's when you pick it up, but not right now. Let's make it two in a row from 888-99 chart.
Hi, I love the show. Wanted to get your take today on Brinker International, ticker EAT, and what your thoughts are in the restaurant industry in general in this economy. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, let's take a look at Brinker. Wow, this is a name that's had quite the run here. From the just a year ago or beginning of last year, it was around 38. Now we're at 160. I do not understand. This has had a recent pullback, okay, 16% in just the last week or so. It's trading in the mid-20s in earnings. Oh, God. I would not be owning this. Now, for everyone else out there, Brinker owns Chili's, Maggiano's, I believe. Yeah, Chili's, Maggiano's. What else? I thought they were Olive Garden as well. I could be thinking of another one. But yeah, basically Chili's and Maggiano's, and earnings just skyrocketed. But I just don't see anything structurally different about this business. This is way too expensive. You know, the cost of running a restaurant is very, very high now. You missed it. Actually, this is a good short, to be honest with you. This is InvestDoc. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday. It's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART. James from New York, hang on. You will be next.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a live call. James from New York asking about his 401k.
Yeah, I often hear you say that an employer has a fiduciary duty to its employees to provide an adequate, best possible plan. Mm-hmm. If I'm a member of a union of tens of thousands of people, and just say there is one person who finds that the plan is not adequate or to their liking and that it can be better, is that sufficient to make a change in the case of an individual? Is that a possibility?
Well, that one person could sue, right? And there's legal costs around that. It'd probably be more of a group of employees suing and finding reason for that. Once again, I'm not a lawyer in that sense, but yeah, I mean, they do have a fiduciary duty. So somebody could sue the employer for a breach of their fiduciary duty. And usually this is around, you know, providing a plan if it's, you know, too high in fees, doesn't provide the adequate investment options for you, you know, and that's not just fees around the investments. It could be fees on how to maintain the cost of maintaining the plan and being passed on to you as well. So, you know, you probably don't want to sue just one person. You know, you probably want to put pressure on management and point out, you know, here are the problems with our plan. These costs are too high, or we don't have these investment options, or we don't have the ability to do X, Y, and Z. And then you can put pressure on them to, you know, and remind them that they do have a fiduciary duty to listen to you and make changes that are necessary.
Okay, thank you much.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now let's talk a little bit about the Trump trades. Trump trades, and quietly, since the beginning of the year, the Trump trade is actually reversing in some ways. The strong dollar post-election is now down on the year. Bond yields that were much higher, pretty much since late September through the end of the year, are starting to fall. And what's happening here is the market's kind of reassessing what is real in this Trump administration when it comes to economic policy, meaning what is just an empty threat? What is a bargaining chip? And what is actually likely to come to fruition? Just look at, you know, the you have the 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada that were paused for 30 days. And he got not much out of, really, not much out of it from pushing that back 30 days. So how real is he? But then you have China, 10% tariffs. That's real. That's been implemented. There's been reciprocal tariffs. You know, China adding someone on our goods. So the tariffs have not been as aggressive as many have feared, and that caused the dollar to fall. And then you have Doge, like looking to cut spending. I've said this before, while wringing out excess and waste from the government, it's probably something everybody can get behind. The simple fact that government might be spending less is actually bearish for the economy in the short term. That's reality. That's just how math works. And that's why the dollar or the 10-year rates have fallen a bit as well. Worries that if they get too crazy, too quick in cutting spending, that could spark a recession. So things like bets against the euro, Chinese renminbi, they're not rewarding investors this year. The dollar gained 8% from late September until the end of the year. And asset managers flipped net long for the first time since 2017 on the dollar. But this year, the US dollar is down about 0.5% against, you know, major currencies. The 10-year peaked at 4.8% in early January. Now it's at about 4.5%. And so there's worries that, you know, the what everybody was pricing into markets and economies, that you get these tariffs that would strengthen the dollar, you would get a stimulus package like tax cuts that would help the economy. As I said before, it's all about order of operation. And so far, the order of operation has not been very bullish for the broader economy, at least in the short term. But as we know with Trump, anything could change. Well, that about does it. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember, we can help you better understand your broader financial picture, your investment strategy, and the risk that you are taking in your portfolio by scheduling a portfolio review with me by heading over to investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial.
a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.